welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 288. Of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. Are you right, Sean?
I am good. I'm winding up for Christmas. How are you doing?
I'm driving home for Christmas. I'm winding down.
And I'm winding up. I've got to get everything finished. Then
good.
I can wind down.
So you're like, you build it to this crescendo.
Yeah. You've got to get everything. You've got to wrap everything. You've got to do,
By the time this one goes out, this episode, I will be... Full
You'd
steam
be chilled.
No, I'll be starting to panic.
You'll be back. Get out.
A week to go. I haven't got anything. Same old Ed, every year, blimey. liveinthepresent.co.uk. Any new listeners, check it out for the show notes and links. We're 10% off our book, Live in the Present, if you sign up for the mailing list, and you get free meditation files, recordings. We're talking about audio today, aren't we? About sound and music and its kind of ability and potential for...
I think we need to look at it on several levels, because there's the issue of frequency, and then there's the issue of tune, rhythm, all kinds of stuff that comes into it.
Yeah, there's so much to dissect in this, as ever. Once you start kind of digging on a subject, you find all sorts. Otherwise, though, you're getting... what does your workload look like over Christmas? Do you get busier?
It gets worse. In terms of the amount that you have to do, building up to Christmas, there's all the people that are facing Christmas without someone for the first time. There's all that. There's all the losses.
Yeah.
And then after Christmas, we have the divorce season begins.
Ah.
So there's a big hike in divorces in January, February. And because not that many people get married anymore, it's split ups, it's separations, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that because people have spent so much time with each other over Christmas, or it's just like, let's get Christmas done and then make that decision?
Well, it can be all of those, but it can also be that people, it's the new year thing. You know, people look at where was I this time last year, where will I be this time next year? And people think, Well, the classic is, my favourite was the lady who came to me in January because her husband had bought her a microwave for Christmas. And that was what got them divorced, because it was like, he just sees me as an extension of the kitchen, that's it, I've had it, I'm done.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I need to be careful then.
Yeah, don't buy a microwave.
Okay.
A Hoover.
Wow. Yeah, that decision, it is an important decision what you get for your loved one. Don't take it too lightly.
I think that the whole issue with presents is many people buy presents on the basis of, I like that, therefore they would like that, as opposed to what would they like.
And in fact, moving on to our subject, in the film Love Actually, she thinks she's getting some jewellery from her husband.
Oh, yeah.
But she gets a CD of music, Jodie Mitchell, is it, or something?
Yeah, Jodie.
We're talking about music today, because, well, he picked the wrong present, really, or she knew... That's when she realised what had been going on. I wonder if we'll watch Love Actually by the time this goes out.
Oh, you have to watch
Christmas
that.
Routine.
Yeah, we've already watched the holiday, so
have you?
We're getting in there.
We'll talk about music and sound. A couple of things have kind of got me thinking about this. First of all, we went to our friend Dav, the premiere of his little video. He's written a song, and Jodie helped him make a video for it. So we'll put the link in for that. Powerful stuff. And also, in fact, the day after that, I went to the cinema with my lovely wife to see Bohemian Rhapsody, the Freddie Mercury Queen biopic, which is amazing. Amazing film, amazing music they wrote together. And, you know, it's dramatised, as all these kind of musical biopics are. But the struggle that the musical artists go through to get these amazing songs into the world, it got me thinking about whether or not it's worth it, their personal loss and then what they have to go through, as any artist has to kind of go through seemingly a certain amount of suffering and pain to get this amazing music to the world.
That's like my album, I've suffered for my art, now it's your turn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in Freddie Mercury's case, the film, without giving too much away, builds up to the Live Aid performance as like the climax of the film, which is amazingly done. And it doesn't linger too long on kind of his life after that, because by that point, I believe he knew he was HIV positive. Yeah. And he had, I think, about 5 or 6 years after that he died. So it doesn't linger on the kind of his physical state after, which I quite appreciated, really.
Yeah.
You just get to see him at his best.
Yeah.
On that show and Queen in general.
Yeah.
But
that's good.
Beyond the kind of story about kind of what he and his bandmates and family had to go through in their lives, the music that Queen made was incredibly powerful and will live forever, like in ways that you can't even imagine, really, won't it?
But that's like ABBA. You know, well, ABBA seems to keep coming back as a boomerang.
Mm.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, I know. Some people are just gifted. Just a gift to kind of give these things to the world, you know. In Queen, the case of Queen, that foot stomping "We Will Rock You" or "We Are the Champions," Bohemian Rhapsody itself, amazing man, ability to get people together, and it shows the power of music in terms of there are bands that people love and hate. I don't know too many people that hate Queen. If Bohemian Rhapsody comes on the radio, everyone likes it.
It's very clever musically, but it's also very clever visually.
Yeah.
That the guy that did it, whether they're lit from underneath and all that.
Oh, the video.
Yeah, it's really clever, isn't it?
Yeah. So what does it for you musically, man? You've got quite a musical history yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, music's always been a part of my life, right from being a kid, because we lived in a council house with a grand piano in the front room.
So was there space for anything else?
No. The television was under the piano. It was like, it was crazy. I was playing music before I went to school, because it was there, and my sisters had gone to school, so it was only my mother and I in the house, and I could play "Smile, Your Heart Is Aching," smile, before I went to school. I could play that on the piano. And then I did things like cello, saxophone, obviously guitars and the keyboards, and then with all the Indian stuff that I did, all the yogic stuff, I studied sitar in different places, Bharata Vidya Bhavan, and in a big music college in Devon, at Tottenham. So music has always been a part of everything that I do, really. And I have a guitar in my consulting room in the house, and very often in between people I'll have a fiddle.
Yep.
Have
a little twang, so to speak.
Have a burst on the banjo.
All sorts of innuendo going on there. The pinnock. Yeah, and we've got some little musical instruments lying around our house, you know, that kids get as presents. Yeah,
a drum.
We have some little bongo drums, but not a full drum set, thankfully.
I want to know what there's a line you put on our notes here that says Ed played bass.
Yeah, I did. I played bass in a band as a teenager.
So why haven't you got bass now? Why aren't you playing now?
Well, the bass guitar on its own, like, I used to love practicing and playing away, you know, because you have to practice the bass a lot. But on its own, it's not a great instrument just to sit there and have a twang of.
So I gave away 3 bass guitars that have been in my attic forever last year. Could have given you a bass.
Yeah. Well, I sold mine. Mine had been at my parents', you know, through uni and all that, when I didn't really. And I got rid of it in the end. It's a pretty cool little Yamaha bass. But one day, maybe, I would rather have, and we haven't got one, an acoustic guitar lying around, just so I can have a little play every now and again, a strum. Because a guitar, I think, as opposed to a bass, is a bit more, you know, you can play a bit more and obviously can't it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I loved it as a kid. Well, a kid, 14, 15, 16, playing in a band. It was amazing. And I played guitar before I played bass, because you can make the switch a bit easier. And I did keyboard lessons at school and all that. But yeah, so music's been a reasonably big part of my life, more the listening side than the playing. You know, I grew up in the 90s, so we had Oasis and Nirvana. And for me, as soon as I heard Radiohead, I remember the moment actually when I properly heard the third album. I was 16 and we were at Manchester Airport, and our flight had been delayed by 16 hours, so we had a bit of time to kill to Canada. And I put, you know, when you used to be able to go to music shops and put headphones on and
press
the button on the CD you wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
And one of them was OK Computer by Radiohead, which I was like, I've heard that's pretty good, and I've heard they're pretty cool. I'm 16 and I put it on, boof, and that first track, Airbag, it's called, I was like, oh my God. You know when you just hear something and you just know that that was made just for your ears almost?
Pressed your button.
And I get a lot of people don't like Radiohead because they're depressing, they're miserable, and But for me, it just they just fit my ears perfectly. And this obsession for me like started on that very day.
Well,
I've seen them live 5 times. I've got all the albums, obviously. I've seen all the videos. There's a documentary on that they had made, which again shows the kind of turmoil that they went through promoting that third album, actually travelling the world, because they hit on this huge success, and all of a sudden they were the critics' favourite. It was voted best album of all time many times over. But the kind of the stress they went through touring the world, getting bored of the album actually themselves.
Yeah.
They nearly
split. But when you've sung a song 4,000 times, it like doesn't have the same meaning.
It's an amazing documentary actually. So that's what went through my head. And there's loads of other cool musical movies out there. Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash one, with Joaquin Phoenix is a good one. But they all kind of tend to show the struggle of the artist, don't they?
And there are loads of artists that don't struggle. There's loads of people that just have a good time playing music or singing or doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Let's get back to kind of the primeval side of music and rhythm. Why is it that our ears like music, and why does it have such a big impact?
It's called the harmonic series, right? If you hit a drum or you pluck a string, you can't hear this in a normal sense. But if you pluck a string, it will vibrate in a whole, in a half, in thirds, in quarters, in fifths. It does a whole pattern. You can video it and slow it right down. Yeah?
Mm.
And those notes are the harmonic series, and they're natural in society, and they create the scale. Do re mi fa so do ti do.
Yeah.
Right? But they're in the harmonic series, the key notes are na, 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 na.
Mm.
Right? And all kids in all societies, even societies that don't have music as part of their tradition, all the kids go na, 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 na.
Yeah,
and it's because it's the harmonic series.
The movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, one of Spielberg's early ones, where they were using music to communicate, and it's the da, 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 da. That's the same, right?
Yeah,
I love that film, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I suppose what it's saying is that the musical scale is not a construction of human invention. It's natural in nature.
Rhythms and frequencies.
It's a bit hard to explain here without drawing pictures, but 3 always goes into 7, always goes into 12.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, it's the 3 major notes of a chord. It's the 7 notes of a scale, of which the 8th one is, and then the 12th notes are, there's 12 semitones in a scale.
Right.
And it's hard to explain. But it's like the 3 colours, the 3 primary colours create all the spectrum of colour.
Whoa, it's fascinating, the maths and the science behind these natural...
But they are so profoundly a part of how we work.
Mm.
Our systems work right down to a cellular level.
Yeah, well, there's an NPR.org... There's actually a radio show about it, but I've just read the blog post that I'll link to. But it kind of talks about the science of sound.
Yep.
And how it kind of begins for us when our hearts start beating, you know.
Yeah.
Dum, 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 dum. And you do hear the frequency, you know, of the heartbeat changing as it gets faster, doesn't it?
Well, I have this thing. I've managed to get a few women to do it, but it's hard to do. Is that when women are pregnant, in the 7th, 8th month, you know, 9th month, before they let go, if you get them to put a contact mic on their abdomen and record an hour of abdominal noise, which is the music that the child has just been listening to for 9 months.
Sure.
And that includes heart, blood flow, respiration, or the digestive system, all working away there. Once the child's born, if you want the child to go to sleep and calm down, put the CD on.
Mm.
And children just go, oh, yeah, okay. And they just relax because they're back in the womb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like playing the music of the womb to them. Yeah, and the women I've managed to get to do that, I've had it really easy with the kids because they don't scream and cry all night because it just comes on.
They
go,
the MP3 on the CD,
go back to sleep. Yeah.
It's fascinating, the science of it, and there's some research started to be done, or has been done a lot more and more recently as we start to understand this. But I mean, for example, I've seen the video on YouTube somewhere, I'll try and remember to link to it, of Alzheimer's patients being... Mm-hmm. completely relaxed and calmed and almost transported to normality, whatever that may mean, by putting some headphones on them and playing music that they loved as younger adults. So what? How do you use music therapeutically?
The music I use therapeutically is in relaxation tapes type thing. So it's what's going on in the background. And there are keys in that, is you need to have a drone sound, which is that continuum in the background, which is the kind of white noise of the music. And then you need a repetitive phrase, and that's, people slide into that.
Right.
You know when you get a piece of music right, because you can watch people just relaxing down, they go, with it. But obviously with the words connected as well, then you get a double bang. So, yeah, that's what I do. The music I play for myself for entertainment is more kind of jazzy, bluesy kind of stuff, which I like doing. I studied sitar because of the Eastern stuff I did. I studied sitar for a long time. And the sitar system, the music system, the rag system, is built around things that affect your personality, things that affect your endocrine organ, and also there's a massive amount of healing music that comes with it.
Right.
So actually being prescribed music to help you get over an illness would be like a bit weird for us. But once you understand the relationship between the resonant vibration and between a sound and maybe a nerve fibre or maybe an organ in the body.
I'm just trying to... Yeah. I don't think I put the quote in, but one of the other links I'm going to put to... It's Medical News Today. I didn't put the...
Right.
But it talks about a Danish study, which on a quite small scale with people, but it was... What was the condition I mentioned?
Fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia, which is a muscular thing, I believe, is
There's a lot of debate of how much of fibromyalgia is psychological and emotional and how much is physical.
Right.
And there's a crossover between the two.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so, but the researchers or the people who are working with these folks in Denmark and recorded a noticeable... drop in the level of pain suffered by the patients when they were played certain types of music or music in general. I can't remember which it was. So is that just because people's awareness is being taken away from the pain to another part of their brain and they're focusing elsewhere?
Again, we'll be multi-layering. Yes, you're distracting mind, that's one. Because when you have pain, you've got primary pain, which is the first sensation of pain. The secondary pain is our emotional connection with it. If you bang your thumb with a hammer and you go, ah, and then you carry on working, if someone else held you down and banged your thumb half as hard with the hammer, it hurt 10 times as much because of all the psychological, emotional stuff involved in it. Yeah?
Right.
But we know that at a cellular level, that music affects people, or if it affects growing organisms directly. So that I put links in to some of these, but we know that if you get the music right with the plant, you can increase the yield by 20%, has been measured. Things like peanuts, tobacco, all kinds of things like that. You can increase, but also if you play them acid rock, you tend to kill them. they don't get on with that very well.
So why do some people like acid rock and others not?
I think part of that is generational and part of it is personality. And you have to look at what someone getting out of the music. Some people, once the music starts, they want to move. If you look at different generations have different rhythms. So like the R&B generation, which followed on from the jive generation, which followed on, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you start to see how different personality types, but different generational types have different musical bias. And so it's like if a certain piece of music starts that's in your generation, you can't keep your feet still, you're off.
Yeah.
But other people are going, oh my God, this is awful. You have something modern on.
I know. Well, I'm in my mid-30s, so I'm basically, I'm pretending that I'm younger than I am really, because I'm that age now where I'm like, music was so much better when I was a kid. We had Oasis and Nirvana and Radiohead and all these great bands. But then watching the Queen movie and hearing the lineup of bands for Live Aid, you're all of a sudden like, oh God, oh wow, okay, that was the era, because it was Led Zeppelin, Queen, David Bowie, Paul McCartney played, like flipping heck, like absolute giants of music. So
yeah,
hats off to
amazing,
hats off to your era, really flipping it.
Yeah.
Mm.
The other thing that I think is important in this, because we don't think of it as music, but it's vibration, is the issue of using sound for control. So that there's a device called the Hornet, which you can use in shopping centres, that deters people up to about the age of 25 from gathering there because it irritates the inside of their ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something that changes when your brain becomes mature, but you don't hear it anymore.
Mm.
And we know you can repel youth from gathering in certain places by using a hornet. But there's lots of ways of controlling rats, mice, dogs, cats, by using things that are just giving off a frequency that hits that.
Our neighbour used to have one of those for keeping cats clear or certain cats.
Mm.
And I could hear it. So I don't know if I've just got really good hearing, but my kids could.
It was your age. It's an age thing. When you get older, those finer frequencies are not so detectable.
Yeah. It's interesting that, I mean, I guess when you come down to it, all sound and music is, it's just vibrating air, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that vibration of frequency, but if you think of light, it's still the same kind of system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sound was there before we had ears as creatures, so we have evolved to kind of pick up on these frequencies of light and of sound.
Yeah.
As indicators, you know, to what's going on around us, so we can be a bit more aware to that tiger that's coming up behind us or that.
There's a whole debate I've heard loads of times in different communities, and it's a Buddhist inspired thing, which is that if a tree falls over in a forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Mm.
Because is the sound on what you receive or is the sound on what is generated?
We could probably do a whole podcast just on that, that famous question.
Yeah, it's a whole weird kind of thing.
Billy Joel once said, I'm going to quote him, "I think music in itself is healing. It's an explosive expression of humanity. It's something we're all touched by. No matter what culture we're from, everyone loves music."
Mm-hmm.
Billy was right, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fascinated by the different sounds you get across the globe in terms of instruments that have evolved. So there's if you hear Japanese or Chinese music, it's instantly recognizable as from the Far East, isn't it?
They're using a different scale pattern, but they also use microtones.
Well, African music has a different kind of rhythm, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
much more like kind of primeval and tribal and whoa. Yeah.
But if you look at that from an Ayurveda point of view, our endocrine system, which would be seen as the chakras, is when people move their bodies, their centre of gravity is different.
Mm.
So to be a ballroom dancer, your centre of gravity is right up in the top of your chest, just below your throat, as you stay upright. Whereas if you're doing some African tribal dance, it's right down in your hips, right down in your pubis, as you're gyrating around the bottom, and different places in between.
Yeah.
And you can tell a lot about personality by just watching the way people dance. It's amazing.
I love me movies beyond just like musical biopics, but I'm fascinated by music soundtracks on movies and how, a composer or a musical artist will work with a director of a film, combining visuals and sound.
Yeah.
And quite often one of the most powerful tricks a director can use in a movie is to drop the sound completely.
Yeah.
Have absolutely no. So if you're in a cinema full of people, and what has been a loud, explosive scene
suddenly
drops to zero, and you can hear a pin drop, is one of the most powerful things you can do.
That's like when something goes black and white, when you've been watching colour, and suddenly it's black and white. The shock, or on Schindler's List, where it's a black and white movie, and suddenly this girl appears in a red.
Yeah,
and that's like it really jumps out at you. Amazing.
And it's all about playing with our emotions, isn't it? And playing with our feelings.
Yeah.
So there wasn't too much silence in the Queen movie. It was all music and talking.
Yeah.
But there's a movie called No Country for Old Men, which is a Coen Brothers movie. It's probably 10 years old or so, but it has no soundtrack. It's all just the noise of the out west in America, but this guy trying to escape this kind of crazy guy that's trying to get some money back from him. There's no soundtrack to it.
Well,
but yeah, Mate, still an amazing film. Like. So the soundtrack, there's no soundtrack as such, music, instruments, but the sound comes from, you know, the whistling of the wind and all that, and the sound of footsteps approaching and so yeah, music isn't just music, is it, or sound? It's.
But then if you were going to go down and sit outside now and listen to birds, because birds are singing, that music is all around us in a way.
Or the sound of rain bashing on the roof in this building, actually.
Yeah, the rhythm.
As you, when you go out to go to the bathroom or to go to the cafe on a day like this, all you hear is that pitter-patter.
I said this to you, I was talking to a guy in the Middle East, and he was just chatting away to me on Skype about there's no tomorrow, and there's this noise going on, and I'm saying, what's that? So that's the bullets landing on the roof, because some of the terrorists were just spraying guns up in the air, and the bullets were coming down, and it sounded like kind of heavy metallic rain going on. He was like, oh yeah, it's just the bullets. And,
big deal. anything else you want to mention?
No.
Good talk for everyone.
I put some links in here. Two of them are to plant experiments with sound and music, and the other one is about the healing rags. It's a whole load of different musical forms that are used in Ayurvedic work to heal different diseases.
Yep.
And that has quite a lot of scientific papers attached to it as well.
Okay.
If you're interested in that kind of stuff.
And I'll put a link into the trailer for the Freddie Mercury movie. I think by the time this goes out, it should still be at the cinema. Kind of mid-December.
We haven't seen it yet.
Try and catch it if you can.
I guess something like that would be better on a big screen than on
if you can. Yeah, the sound.
Yeah.
The foot stomping, We Will Rock You and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you can grab it on the big screen while it's out there.
Yeah.
But there's loads of other cool musical biopics as well that well worth a look. Alright, cool.
Cool one.
Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look at all the show notes, links, and previous episodes. And we're back next week for more.
Yeah, and then Christmas will be almost upon us.
I've got a feeling the next few episodes might be festive related and maybe a bit of New Year, New Year's.
Do you think
we
need some champagne or mulled wine? Do you think we should?
Not a bad shout, I can ride home with.
You can be done for being drunk on a bike. Though.
Apparently, yeah.
I know you can be drunk on a horse, you get done for that.
Right, cool. Have a good week, Sean.
And you, take care.
See you guys.